Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and anything else listening. My name is Drew Badger from The Big Scary Show, and welcome to The Big Scary News, an offshoot of The Big Scary Show where we bring you all the latest up-to-the-minute news and goings-on in the haunt, horror, and Halloween industry that you need to know, plus an exclusive interview that you won't hear anywhere else. The Big Scary News is very proudly sponsored by Froggy's Fog. Get all your fog products from frog juice to scents to foggers and more only at froggiesfog.com. And now, without further ado, here is the Big Scary News. We start out with some sad news from the Niles Scream Park in Niles, Michigan. We mourn the passing of our longtime friend and dedicated volunteer, Jerry York, who passed away on Thursday, December 18th after an extended illness. Although Jerry's health has been declining over the past several years, he still managed to volunteer at the Scream Park just about every night it was open. On busy nights, he worked in front of the wanding area, making sure that the lines were moving smoothly. You could always spot him very easily because of the Christmas lights he used to decorate his electric wheelchair. The family has decided not to have a funeral service. There will be a celebration of life scheduled in January, followed by a dinner. It would be great to have a large haunted house showing, since Jerry was such a longtime and well-loved volunteer. You are welcome and encouraged to come in your Niles Haunted House shirts and jackets. We will let you know the details when they are available. Meanwhile, our thoughts and prayers are with his family and his friends who miss him dearly. Don, Joe, and Pete, the Niles Haunted House Board. To find out more about the celebration of Jerry's life, check out their Facebook page at facebook.com/Niles Scream Park. The Big Scary Show sends its deepest condolences to the family and friends of Jerry York and offers up this moment of silence. We have a little more sad news from the world of print. Mad Monster is reporting that our friend and Mr. Monster of Japan, Hajime Ishida, has passed away after a 3-year battle with the worst monster of them all, cancer. Horror icon Forrest J. Ackerman called Hajime my Japanese son, and like Uncle Fari, Hajime was more than just a fan. He published monster magazines in Japan and was himself an important figure in the genre. Hajime was instrumental in helping us bring Harua Nakajima to the first ever Mad Monster Party, and we will miss his tireless support of all the things we love. The Big Scary Show and News sends their condolences to the family and friends of Hajime Ishida, and again offers up a moment of silence. We have this news from the Misery Haunted House in Wisconsin. An official important announcement. I am very proud to announce that for 2015, the Misery Haunted House is moving from Little Chute, Wisconsin, to Berlin's Old Tannery in Berlin, Wisconsin. This is an opportunity of magnificent proportions. Together we offer one of the largest and most dynamic haunted attractions in the state. It's true what they say, misery loves company. For more information, visit their Facebook page at facebook.com/miseryhauntedhouse. We have some convention stories, starting with the Mad Monster Party in Charlotte, North Carolina. You poor unfortunate souls, Ursula will surface at Mad Monster Party 2015. Pat Carroll, Ursula from The Little Mermaid, joins the madness March 27th through the 29th in Charlotte. Don't miss this incredibly rare chance to meet the voice of one of Disney's most iconic villainesses. For all the latest updates, take a moment to like the main Mad Monster page on Facebook. There are a limited number of discount rooms at the Sheraton Charlotte Hotel where the show is at and the Monsters party all weekend. So act fast if you want to save money with the Mad Monster rate. Get all the information you need at www.themadmonsterparty.com. We have more convention news from Monster Mania Con in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. We are very excited to announce that Lynn Shay has just been added to the lineup of stars that will be attending Monster Mania XXX, or is that 30, the weekend of March 13th through the 15th in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Lynn is most recognized for her role as Elsie Rainier in the popular Insidious film series. Lynn has just completed reprising a role for Insidious 3. Horror fans will also recognize her for her role as the teacher in the very first Nightmare on Elm Street. Other notable films she's been in include Ouija, Snakes on a Plane, 2001 Maniacs, Hood of Horror, Critters 1 and 2, New Nightmare, Detroit Rock City, Dumb and Dumber, The Running Man, and many, many more. Monster Mania Con runs March 13th through the 15th at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. For more information, visit monstermania.net. We have even more convention news from Crypticon Seattle. Crypticon is proud to welcome Michael Berryman to Seattle for our 2015 convention. In addition to his iconic performances as Pluto in The Hills Have Eyes, Michael has also appeared in such classic films as One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, The Devil's Rejects, Weird Science, as well as television appearances in The X-Files, Star Trek The Next Generation, Tales from the Crypt, and many more. Join us next May and stay tuned for more guest announcements in the near future. Crypticon is happening May 22nd through the 24th at the Hilton, 17620 International Boulevard in Seattle. For more information, go to crypticonseattle.com. We have some haunt news from the Factory of Fear in Moline, Illinois. Factory of Fear presents From the Factory with Love, The Teddy Bear Killer, February 13th and 14th. There's a killer on the loose, and it appears you're either with him or you're against him. Tour the factory and see what terror he is bringing to everyone and everything. New rooms, new characters. They also have a unique free opportunity in the Sean Flynn Photography Photo Booth. You could waste money on a movie and sit with 200 strangers, or you can tour the Factory of Fear for a more intimate experience. For more information and to buy tickets, which are on sale now, visit www.qcfactoryoffear.com. We have a little news from Con-Nuga Sci-Fi Horror and Anime Convention in Chattanooga, Tennessee. In honor of the new Mad Max scheduled to be released in May of 2015, someone needs to throw a Mad Max-themed room party. If you think you have what it takes to theme your room at the Chattanooga Choo Choo like it fell straight out of the post-apocalypse, drinks and food and theme too, click the link on our page and submit your room party ideas. Or if you have an equally epic idea, submit that too. The winner of the room parties gets sweet prizes. To submit your ideas, visit connuga.com/events-contest/room-parties for more information on Con-Nuga happening February 27th through March 1st in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Visit their website or Facebook page, facebook.com/con.nuga. We have this news from Busch Gardens Howl-O-Scream 2015 in Tampa, Florida. Howl-O-Scream, Florida's premier Halloween event, has announced they are back for select nights from September 25th through October 31st, 2015. With tormenting surprises around every corner and unexpected terrors, the streets will be swarmed with hundreds of roaming creatures, making escape nearly impossible. Chilling live shows and the chance to challenge Florida's top thrill rides in the dark, including North America's tallest freestanding drop tower, Falcon's Fury, will keep the screams coming all night. To keep up with all the updates, visit seaworldparks.com/Howl-O-Scream-Tampa, or stay tuned as we'll bring you all the latest news on it as it becomes available. We have this haunt news from the Nashville Nightmare in Madison, Tennessee. Nashville Nightmare is proud to announce that in February, on Friday the 13th and Saturday the 14th, we will open our doors for a special two-night event, My Bloody Nightmare. We will dim down the lights for a unique experience that has never before been seen at Nashville Nightmare. On top of all that, guests will have the option for a full contact experience, meaning you will be touched and grabbed by our monsters inside if you choose to do so. You won't want to miss this awesome and unique experience that will only come around once a year. So grab a date and hold on tight for My Bloody Nightmare. For more information, go to their Facebook page at facebook.com/Nashville Nightmare Haunted House. We have this news from Selling Halloween magazine. Selling Halloween's The Nightmare Zone is gearing up for its March 2015 issue. This is the issue that will debut at Transworld's Halloween and Attractions Haunt Show. This is your opportunity to make sure that your company's products and or services are seen for the Halloween 2015 season. Make sure your product line is seen by the key buyers and decision makers at Nationwide Haunted Attractions and Amusements. The Nightmare Zone will be covering the following topics in its upcoming print issue: props, mechanicals, accessories, including jewelry, masks, hats, props, etc., makeup, animatronics, special effects, video effects, sounds, payment technologies, calendar events, business news, and marketing news. To be considered for a free editorial mention in this issue, please submit your 2015 product details, retail pricing, plus a high-res image, at least 3 inches big at 300 dpi, saved as a JPEG, TIFF, or EPS file. Please do not send more than 6 images. In addition to product images and information, include the following: your company name, as it should appear in print, toll-free number or regular number, and website address. Also list the name and email address of the person who should receive editorial leads from retailers requesting more information. Information and images should be emailed directly to Dorothy Creamer at dcreamer@edgellmail.com. That's edgellmail.com. You can also send high-res images on a disc via regular mail to 915 Leighton Avenue, that's L-E-I-G-H-T-O-N Avenue, Point Pleasant, New Jersey, 08742. All information and images must be received no later than Friday, January 16th. Should you have any questions, please email or call Dorothy Creamer, that's dcreamer@edgellmail.com, or call her at 908-278-3536. Thank you for your attention. And finally, we have this news from the Midwest Haunters Convention. We are very excited to announce the 2015 MHC Pre-Convention Bus Tour lineup. This year's tour has 5 amazing haunts that cover 2 days of scare, fear, and fun. Enjoy hanging out with fellow haunters and haunt enthusiasts while visiting some of the best haunts in Ohio. Thursday's bus tour includes lunch and dinner. Friday's bus tour will be followed up with an amazing after party at the Haunted Hoochie. Hang out with your friends and roast s'mores around the bonfire. On Thursday, May 28th, they'll be visiting the Ghostly Manor Thrill Center in Sandusky, the Hauntville Haunted House in Elyria, the Fear Experience Haunted House, and Spooky Ranch. On Friday, May 29th, it's the Paranormal Day Tour. Details will be announced shortly. And on the evening of Friday, May 29th, it's the Haunted Hoochie. MHC will once again be at the Greater Columbus Convention Center in Columbus, Ohio, the weekend of May 29th through the 31st. For more detailed information, go to MidwestHauntersConvention.com/haunt tours. And that wraps up the news for this episode. Stay tuned for the interview here on The Big Scary News. Do you need fog or snow for your haunted attraction or theatrical event? Are you looking for that perfect haze effect? How about scents to give your haunt that extra realism? If you answered yes to any of these, then you need to head over to froggiesfog.com and check out their line of world-famous frog juice, haze juice, artificial snow, and bubble juice. Whether you're a home haunter buying a gallon a year or a major theme park buying 25,000 gallons a year, you can be certain that your satisfaction is their highest priority. They have everything you need when it comes to the highest quality fog and haze fluids. If you're looking for that perfect low-lying stage fog, the longest-lasting water-based fog, the right haze juice for your machine, a bubble juice that outperforms the rest, or a snow juice that evaporates after floating 30 feet, Froggy's Fog has that and so much more. Froggy's Fog also has scent additives that are compatible with any water-based fog, haze, snow, and bubble fluid. For more information, visit froggiesfog.com. That's froggiesfog.com.
Hey, this is Tater. Come buy your fog from me, because if you don't, I'll be homeless.
Tonight's interview is with haunt consultant and all-around haunt legend John Denley, and was recorded in December 2014.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Big Scary News. I got a real treat for you today. A few weeks ago, we were up at the legendary Haunt Tour up in Salem, Massachusetts. Got a chance to go to Witch Mansion in Salem, in the touristy area, so to speak. Year-round haunt run by none other than John Denley. We had a great interview while we were there, and unfortunately, that interview got corrupted and destroyed or lost or whatever you want to call it. So we had to get him back on because that was just too much of a good thing to lose there. So John Denley up in Salem, we've got you on the line, correct?
That is absolutely correct, and I blame that corruption on probably some of the supernatural happenings there in Salem.
You know, I would completely believe that because of all the interviews we did for Legendary, yours was the only one that was corrupted, and I think yours was the only one we actually did in Salem. Everything else was done outside of town at the other haunts and all that. So, you know, who can say, right?
Well, Salem's it's certainly a town indicative of the strange and unexplained.
It is an odd thing. John, you are a year-round haunt owner, which semi uncommon in this business. There are a few of you around there. What is what would you say is the hardest issue of being a year-round haunt owner?
The hardest issue of being a year-round haunt owner is basically keeping it fresh. We try to keep the show. We do have a regular crowd that certainly comes back and likes to see our show every year and see the changes we've made. But we are fortunate enough to have, I would say this to anybody considering a year-round haunt, to choose an area where there's always an affluent a bunch of tourists, a fresh new batch of tourists coming in and visiting that area from, most of our, about 60% of our audience in October are Asian, a lot of people travel on the coast. But haunting, a good deal of our audience doesn't even speak English, and we certainly don't speak their language, but haunting and scaring and jumping out transcends all language barriers, I have found out. So as soon as they see the lobby and they some of the figures and things like this that we have on display, they know what they're in for.
One thing I got to ask you then is, as far as keeping it fresh, when do you go and make all your changes? I mean, if you are open every day.
It's a good question. The season right now, Christmas is like, and people are thinking about the sugar plum fairies and stuff, and I'm certainly not. Me, I'm after this interview, I'm probably going to watch another horror movie. But most normal people are thinking about sugar plum fairies and Christmas and getting Christmas presents, things like that. And I enjoy Christmas as well. But I'm Halloween is in my blood. I have always had the fever, and it just increases as March approaches. So I do it in the winter. I literally go in the winter, and I'm fresh, and I've had a little bit of chance to distance myself and go, okay, I've had a month or so off, so now let's attack it. Let's take out what didn't work, and let's. What I do is I use my year-round attraction kind of as a laboratory, because we build haunted houses for I run Boneyard Productions, so we build haunted houses for people all over the world. So I get to test out what works in Salem. And, what a beautiful way to, I've tried everything in the book. So, with us, we not only build haunts, we run them, we know the operational system, we know what to do when there's, a moderate crowd, we know what to do when it's all hands on deck and there's tens of thousands of people roaming the street and we have to pretty much kind of line them. We are set up, we know operations and throughput, I would say, as good or better than anyone. We know how to put people through and still give them a great show.
And, of course, in a place like Salem, where everyone's kind of looking for something a little bit, shall we say, supernatural and maybe just a little spooky, a year-round haunt like yours just works real well, does it not?
It really does. And here's the kind of hypocrisy of the whole thing is Salem. When I first came to Salem back in, like, 92 or something like this, first came to Salem and I went to the small business committee and I said, I'm thinking of opening a year-round haunted house. And they said, oh, yeah, well, they would never work. Haunted house, people, they would never go to haunted house. You know? And I said, there was nothing. There were no, but I was in Salem. It was hard to believe, you know. So I said, I don't understand why I wouldn't fly. I said, because I visited every single attraction as a boy, and as an adult, I still came up with the same feeling, going, yeah, but where was the witch? Where was the green, you know, Wizard of Oz character witch? Nothing to do with the Wiccan religion. I mean, a kid, you don't even, doesn't even come into your head. You're thinking of the movie witch, the big green nosed witch.
Oh, sure.
Spooks and goblins and things like this. And
stereotypical so, Margaret Hamilton.
Yeah, I was looking for that element and looking for that fun. And what you hear in the historical attractions, which, you know, I've built quite a few of them, there are, like the Witch History Museum I built, you know, is a pretty sad tale of what went on when people hop on the bandwagon and start pointing the finger and, you know, with the witch hysteria. But we have a special little niche. We are there for the people that kind of came out of these attractions, and they're gonna go to the Witch Museum, go to the House of Seven Gables or something like this. We're there for the people who, you know, that come and they go, oh, wait a minute, oh, now this ought to be fun. We don't pretend to be part of the history. You know, we are just there to give you a good time, to add a good smile and a good scare when you, are done with the historical attractions. And the problem with Salem, in my eyes, is so many of the historical attractions are reiterating the same story. So people come out, and they come into us and say, this isn't like the same thing. And I said, oh, no. I said, there you stand and listen to different tales. Here we're going to chase you and jump at you and make you scream, and it's a much more immersive type of entertainment. And so sure enough, I didn't listen to the small business committee. I opened up a haunt on Pickering Wharf years ago, and there was nothing on Pickering Wharf. It was almost like a ghost town, and no pun intended, or maybe every pun intended. And it ended up doing, you know, tens of thousands of people in the month of October, and I was like, oh my God. I think it was like 17,000 people in the first month being open, and no advertising and nothing, literally just opening the door and having a sign over the door. And I was pulling in people off the street, begging relatives, begging anybody, please. I was not prepared for it. The next year, I had security, the police. Now I've got it down to where the fire marshals actually use our haunt as a model for a lot of the other haunts. Say, okay, this is how a haunt should be set up.
Oh, very nice.
We are, you know, we've got everything, but it certainly worked. It's worked for me. I've gone out and ventured and done things like, I ran Spooky World for a while. I had the name for a number of years, so I, you know, was doing 165,000 square foot or scare foot haunts in the Bayside Expo Center and Candy Lake Park, and, you know, gone on to haunt casinos and Madison Square Garden and gone to different countries. But Salem is great because my haunt serves as a testing ground and a showroom, because a potential client comes and says, I want to haunt the house, and I can show them all the beautiful drawings and anything I want. But I'd much rather say, why don't you come down and see what we can do? And see if you're our flavor, because we know how to run them as well. And when we can, you know, one service we offer is to train their staff. We train their, you know, their entire. We even help them through the interview process, because, you know, I don't care what anybody says in this industry. You can have the prettiest show in the world, but unless you've got a great staff, You know, great actors make a great haunted house. That's the truth.
As an actor trainer myself, I reiterate that to every client I have. Everybody that calls me, everybody, that's one of the first things I tell them. I say, you can have the million-dollar animatronics. You can have 100,000 square feet. You can have the best lighting and the best sound system and the best fog. But if your actors are junk, then you've got a junk haunt. And conversely, I've been to 700-square-foot spook houses with five or six actors that are enthusiastic and amazing and had a better time.
And I laugh, but I, you know, you people say, well, it's a sweeping generalization or you stereotype, but I find what works, at least this is what works for me. You know, normally people say, where do you find your ghouls and ghosts? And I say, well, we've tried, you know, acting departments. Sometimes that's going to work, or the power of Craigslist these days and things like that. But when that guy comes in for the interview, and he's got a, you know, he's got a Red Bull, he's in a rock and roll T-shirt, he probably plays in a band, he's probably on Ritalin. He's my guy. he knows every horror movie. He thinks that, you know, the '80s versions of Freddy and Jason are the classics of horror. But he can tell you who directed them and who, you know, and every horror movie since then. That's the guy I want, because he's going to be jumping and crouching and screaming and having the same energy with every performance, instead of being, you know, kind of a theatrical diva, which, you know, they do things once or twice and they realize, God, this doesn't work. I got to run around here, hey, can I have a different position? Why don't you scream so much? Or, you know, which is most haunts. Remember, most haunts, not only are we around, but most haunts are open from, 6 or 7 at night. You know, we're opening at 10 in the morning.
Sure.
So it's day and night. And that's, you know, you've got to have a good, strong voice. You've got to be able to jump and crouch. And I work the front scene of my haunted house to set the pace. I set the standard and let them know what I expect of them, because I think too many people don't QC their haunt. You know, they don't QC the experience. You know, go through it yourself. Just, you know, of course they're going to put on the best show when they see the boss, but put on a hoodie or something and go through and you'll see a totally different show.
Sure. Or go through with a small group and don't tell them it's you and we'll see what happens.
Yep.
That works out great. You were technically, I guess, one of the first people to call yourself a haunt consultant, if I'm not mistaken on that.
Yeah, I was the first haunted house guy at the Grand Royal Show. And back then it was basically a party and decoration show. And, you know, with all the Halloween parties and costumes and things like that. And it really didn't have any haunt related items. It didn't have any, there wasn't any market for haunted houses or haunt props or anything like this. So here I was, you know, I'm dating myself here with my How to Run a Haunted House, VHS tapes and my cassette tapes of 20 ways to scare your trick-or-treaters and different haunted house tips and things like this on cassettes, and offering made designs and things for haunted houses. And people were like, you sell what? And, but it was very interesting. You know, a bunch of people said, you know, I have a storefront and I only use this much, and it kind of spiraled the next year. I remember a couple of other companies that you probably have heard of. We saw a little Spider and Gag Studios, and it's become huge, and it just kept snowballing, and I couldn't believe it, to the point that it was like, wow, this is become an industry. And I remember, when we'd be walking down the distortions aisle and seeing the masks, and it was like, it was so electrifying in its early days, and when it was in Chicago and it's the style of transport and everything, and you'd walk it, and And of course, there were maybe only 3 or 4 hours of heart stuff back then. It was getting bigger and getting bigger, and people were getting more creative and producing stuff for haunted houses, and it was getting more elaborate. But what I also noticed was it was getting more realistic, and people were, you know, people were one-upping one another. It was, you know, people were coming into haunted houses now expecting movie-quality sets and scenes. And you had companies like Scare Factory come along and change the game entirely, you know. It was the first time I ever walked into a booth of another vendor. Took one look at the corpse later, saw how fast it jumps out and jumps back inside, back and forth. Took the calculator out, you know, sat there and added up what it would cost an actor a month to jump out with that energy in that position. And the corpse later worked out cheaper. And the corpse later didn't take smoke breaks never was late or anything like that. So it was a scary animation. It was the first animation I had seen that had been like, oh, it wasn't, you know, a talky greeting character. It wasn't a, you know, slow moving thing. It was a motorized character. It was in your face, and it was a simple lever movement, you know. But it came out at you, and it worked. And you know, over time, I think they've got Dave Fockman's a great guy, and he, you know, I mean, he had things jumping out of everything, you know, and no matter what, tables that flipped up and things jumping out, and people started investing more and more in animatronics, and then finding out that a healthy balance of both is good. You know, a healthy balance of both, I think, is good for, you know, you can have production value, but you really still do have to key in on having great actors and characters, which is why I think now, if you take a look at the convention now, is why these silicone mask companies are multiplying like crazy, because now people are now expecting movie-quality characters.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're getting it. These silicone mask companies are producing beautiful stuff. That I've watched movies where there's no, you know, the creature's not half as good as some of these wonderful companies, you know, CFX and some of these great, you know, mask companies that are out there. And again, you know, you're getting effects artists, the guys from Smooth On are coming out and finding, well, geez. You know, we don't just have the motion picture industry to supply. And the effects thing, you know, we've got the Haunted House industry. You know, was buying from us and making molds and doing this and with dragon skin and so many more user-friendly items that are so much. They don't have the toxicity that the things that we had to work with back in the day.
Right. I hate to say it, but it's almost quote-unquote scary how fast it's evolving. I mean, 5 years ago, there were no silicone mask companies. Now there's many of them out there.
Yeah, now you're building building characters. But I'm seeing it. I'm seeing a change. There's always been trends in the show. And I really believe that everything, you know, my good friend Rich Hanf always says, you know, he's always says everything is circular, you know, everything comes back around, and except for the thin ties in the 80s, that never came back. And I had to throw mine out finally. And maybe I have a few arguments, but I'm seeing a back to the basic type of thing come back around. I'm seeing haunts want things that are realistic, that are scary, that are in your face, and now they are just not looking for, a giant, huge prop. They're saying, you know, I want a scare. And now they're using, you know, that you see the CGI available to us and all this stuff, which is great because, you know, I use CGI as well. Which we actually offer CGI effects, but to me, they're great distractions. Like, you know, look at something and bang, your actor comes in for the kill, you know?
Absolutely.
And, but boy, look at, you know, some of the things, even, you know, take a walk in the spirit and look at some of the things that are available to home haunters, you know? And the industry really has grown immensely.
Looking back at some of the early days when you were the guy at Transworld that had those tapes and consulting services, do those tapes still hold up, or would those techniques still be relevant today given the advancements of the technology and the animatronics and the makeup and the masks and everything? Or, you know, back in the 80s, as you mentioned before, all those quote-unquote classic movies with the Freddies and Jasons, they, you know, while they were terrifying back when we were young enough right. to be terrified of it, people nowadays kind of look at it more as just not as scary. And,
yeah,
you know, I wonder if the techniques you were using back in those days hold up. How have you had to evolve with the times, I guess, so to speak? And, but,
yeah,
you know, as with a return to the classics, is it coming around full circle and people argue?
It really is. I mean, what it is, you know, I think the only thing that's changed is the fact that we put it out in the DVD format. I mean, basically, they're still using the slap downs, they're still using the drop downs and pulley drops and things like this because gravity's free. And, you know, the prop building materials and the concept shown and, you know, corpse build-ups and all the different things that are I can't think of a single thing other than my attire that I'm wearing during the thing that is dated. And, you know, I mean, a lot of it people are discovering, going, oh my God, I can, you know, I can do these, you know, especially even the early ones that I put out with Rich Hanf, you know, was, you know, where you have a woman on an altar in the middle of an outdoor hall, they'd say, tonight there will be a sacrifice, and plunge a knife into her, and he'd step on a pedal, and of course the sump pump would shoot the blood out, and he'd pull the heart out, and the people would, you know, all go, ooh, clap, and see it when the crowd right over, you know.